In today's episode, I'm excited to welcome Sam Nguyen from GitLab. She's here to share how she stands out to get a first SDR role and her current job at GitLab. This is a must listen if you are looking for an SDR job in 2024. Welcome to the SDR Camp podcast. I'm Eric, your host, and I'm here to help you accelerate your SaaS career and build more pipeline. This podcast is the one I wish I had when I started out as an SDR. Since diving into tech sales in 2018, I've been a top-performing SDR at 4 companies, and I've led SDR teams for the last 2 years. In my conversation with Sam, we dive into effective strategies on how to handle mock calls, how to use company information during the hiring process, and how to get a job offer after initially being turned down by a hiring manager. Let's dive in. Sam, you mentioned to me that to get into tech sales, you don't have like any family or friends into tech sales. How did you initially educate yourself and what motivates you to dive into tech sales?
I didn't have any connections. I honestly didn't even think that this career, this profession existed, to be completely frank with you. But I was in grad school kind of doing communication, so I was something completely different. And then I was thinking like, okay, well, I need a job. And so I was literally browsing Reddit, and then I came across this subreddit called r/sales. And so I kind of perused that a little bit, and then I saw, you know, people, and this was back in like 2020, 2021 ish. So the market was, you know, still relatively hot back then. And then I saw a bunch of people being like, okay, well, this is like a career that you can kind of get into, where you can make like a lot of money in relatively short time. You know, just to be completely frank with you. And then, so I was like, okay, well, this sounds like something, you know, I could maybe do for, you know, like a little while, at least. And then, so I really kind of went from there. And then, you know, off of Reddit, I went on LinkedIn. I actually, you know, I was looking, I literally just typed in, tech sales or like SaaS or something in the bar. And then I came across, Florin Tertullia, who you've obviously had as a guest on your podcast. And he was really the first kind of LinkedIn sales influencer that I followed. He actually was the one who gave me my first job. So he interviewed me, and then he kind of left right after he interviewed me. So I tried not to take any offense to that, but Florin, if you're listening, I still remember. I remember my very first foray into prospecting, if you will, was on Florin's profile at the time, at his very last line on his profile. It was like, you know, if you want a job at Loopio, send me an email with the subject line, cheese. And so that's kind of what I did. I also personalized it a little bit more by kind of saying hello in, I think it was Romanian. So he listed Romanian as a language that he spoke on his LinkedIn. So just send him that email. And then, I mean, I guess the rest is history, really. So that's really how I got my start in tech sales.
So if we go back to what you are saying, that you were on Reddit and then you found, that's how you found about tech sales. So what did you learn during this process of going to Reddit or LinkedIn? So were you looking for information to get into tech sales, or what helped you actually start thinking about tech sales and reaching out to Florin?
I wasn't thinking too deep about kind of the whole process. I literally saw a couple of people say, you know, all it takes is really reaching out to the hiring manager and try to kind of differentiate yourself that way. And so I thought like, okay, I kind of enjoy doing that kind of stuff. So, you know, it wasn't a huge kind of barrier for me. I wasn't thinking too deeply about it. I literally just started with like that one email. I was lucky enough that Florin replied, and then we kind of went from there.
Nice. And if we talk about Florin specifically, because that's him that you reached out to have the first interview. So how did you know that he's from Romania? Did you find that on his LinkedIn profile? And did you find his email address also on his website, on his LinkedIn profile also?
It was all on his LinkedIn profile. I didn't stalk him on Instagram or anything like that. I still don't do any of that stuff. It listed it as one of his languages that he spoke. I mean, there's plenty of sites nowadays where you can kind of put in someone's like first name and last name and then kind of guess the email address there. Now, obviously, you know, if I had friends in Texas, I'd probably ask them to pull from ZooInfo or something like that, but I didn't. So that's really the avenue that I use. So again, like, it was pretty straightforward. It didn't really take me a lot of like time to research or anything like that at all. So I think like nowadays, you know, if, you know, people were listening and looking to get into tech sales, that is probably the bare minimum that is expected now. But yeah, like I think you have to start somewhere, right?
How do you think about the mock call actually? And what did you do with the Loopio hiring team?
I obviously was very green. I'd never made a cold call in my life up until that point. So I had no idea what to expect. So I went back to Reddit, kind of looked at, you know, other people's experiences with this like mock call situation. And I think, you know, I don't remember. I think, you know, I saw some people's like objection handle responses, stuff like that. So I just kind of tried to memorize that. But I think what kind of stood me apart on that sense was immediately after the mock call, I think I asked the hiring manager for feedback. And, you know, she gave me some feedback. Pretty much every single BDR manager will tell you that that all they want is like coachability and like proactiveness. So yeah, I think like that piece kind of set me apart because they're not expecting you to be kind of perfect.
No, and you're right on that. Because for the listener here, it's going to share what you did here. It's really good actually for not hiring manager is because generally if people with experience in hiring, in tech sales, they are going to focus more on the soft skills of the person versus someone with maybe experience. Obviously, someone with experience, that's great, but if they have the right soft skills, it's way better. But what you did here specifically is if you ask for feedback after role play, what does that mean for them? It's you are curious, you are coachable because you want to get feedback. And the second step I think you did really well was asking to do a second role play, and because that's you asking for that, and it's not the hiring manager saying, hey, we should do another one. No, you were asking for that. And during the hiring process, I think that's great because generally what's happening, some people say, yeah, I'm curious, I'm coachable. Yeah, it's easy to say that. But during a hiring interview, or during a hiring process, it's hard it's easy to say it, but then for the hiring manager, you need to show it. And that's why I think it works really well with them.
Yeah, no. And actually, kind of on that point too, when I was kind of, preparing for the interview itself, and I like having like a framework for answers, so I don't have a word-for-word script, but I liked having a bit of a framework. And I would remember, like, without fail, I would get asked something like, tell me about yourself. Every single interview, tell me about yourself. Why our company? Why sales? And then sometimes I would also ask, like, why me? So I would kind of develop my own kind of framework for each of these, you know, questions. And I think the best interviews that I went on, and Loopio was included, in my kind of rough framework script, I would have my little spiel, you know, my answer. And then at the end, I would kind of ask them a question back. So it becomes a little bit more of a conversation rather than just kind of like a one-way type of thing. And I think that also helped because that way I kind of gain information to, kind of send them in their follow-up email or just kind of, you know, I think having information is really...
Yeah. Two questions here. So you said that you had a framework. So your framework was answering the question, then asking them a question, or during your answer, did you have like a framework that you are following to answer the question? Did you use like I'm asking because generally on the hiring process, there is companies expecting that you use a STAR framework to answer a question. So that's what you use or something else?
So I wish that I use a STAR framework. I wish that I was kind of more organized in my answers. But I found it kind of a little bit hard to kind of say it in kind of my own voice. So what I did was I literally just said my answer over and over and over again. And then each time I refined it. So I know it's a little bit of an odd process to kind of do that, but it's how I rehearse for any type of like presentation or anything like that.
STAR, because sorry if I said the STAR framework, and for those who are listening that don't know what STAR is, STAR is, so it's a framework that you use generally when you have like a behavioral question from the hiring manager. And so STAR stands for situation. So you set the scene, you give the details of the example or the answer. Task, that's the second one. Describe what your responsibility was in that situation. Then the action you took. So explain exactly what step you took to address it. And then the results of it. So share the outcomes of your actions. So we started about talking about DomoCore. Now let's talk about GitLab, your process with them, because something also I thought interesting when we are preparing the episode was your evolution in terms of what you did with Loopio and then what you did with GitLab. So the first thing that stood out to me was you asked them a question. So that was, what's your biggest challenge on the team? And would be curious first to know what was the answer from the GitLab team.
They basically said that they were looking for a little bit more creativity within the outreach from the team. And then I made note of that immediately. So I don't mean to sound arrogant when I say this, but I like doing kind of creative, fun stuff. So it wasn't like me being like trying to force myself into this other person. It was something that I do generally kind of quite enjoy doing. So I took mental note of that. And then after the interview was over, and by the way, I think I did really badly on this interview. I did not do a good job. So I thought like, okay, well, I have nothing to lose here. So what I did was I sent them basically like a screenshot.
Sorry, before we talk about the screenshot, so why do you think you did it not in the best way? What could you have done differently on the interview?
I think it was, I think I was pretty nervous. I think that didn't help. And I think the questions that they were asking me I guess I wasn't super prepared for.
Okay.
So I think that's a bit of a, kind of misstep on my part.
But after this interview, you sent an email. So what did you do with that?
So I basically sent them an email with a screenshot of a Spotify playlist that I created. I forgot what it said, but it was like, hire me because I'm creative or something like that. I got an email from the recruiter inviting me back literally like an hour after that. So that was a pretty cool feeling. I think that really points to like getting feedback thing. Because I think, the interview process, it's not just the interview itself. It's everything. It's like if you send a LinkedIn request to the hiring managers, the follow-up notes, it's everything, right? So I think that, even though I'd had a pretty not great interview, I think that really like turned the tables. I mean, like it kind of turned the tide.
Now, I think here what happened also, obviously what you are saying, you are talking about the preparation, obviously that helps. But if you think about the hiring interview, the hiring process, it's not just one thing that you will do differently that will make the big difference. It's every detail on the hiring process. Like you said, it's the connection request. For example, if you, the preparation, the email you sent with the screenshot, for example, of the Spotify playlist. That's at the end, when they need to make the decision, that's how they are thinking about it. Because it's not just say, oh yeah, this person was coachable and that's it. Oh, this person called me and to get the interview and that's it. No, because when you make the decision of hiring someone, there is a depending on the company. For me, I can make the decision with the hiring, the recruiter generally that we were sitting down together and scoring the candidate. But some people, they make decisions on their own. Then there is like a hiring committee. So there are like 3-4 people at the same time. So, and they are going to review everything from the hiring process. And so that's why I think, yes, you can maybe not have the best interview, but the rest of the hiring process can still help you.
That wasn't actually the only thing that I did, So I also went into GitLab's 10K. Obviously, GitLab is a public company. But I know people are out there saying, well, my dream company is private. You can still find lots of information,
yes,
even if it's a private company, right? So, but yeah, so I went to GitLab's, 10K, and obviously every single company has a revenue goal, right? So I picked the revenue goal, and then I sent it to the global SDR director, and I was like, is this kind of part of the reason why you're hiring new BDRs? And then once again, I got an email from the recruiter literally like less than an hour after I sent that email. So I will say like it does work. And I think BDR managers, I mean, they get a ton of outreach, but if yours is good, I think I pretty much have like a 100% response rate anytime I send a hiring manager an email. So yeah, like I think doing a little bit of research, and it didn't take me long at all. It took me like 3 minutes at most. So I think just a little bit of kind of smart research is really something that is worth kind of investing your time into.
Yeah. So here, another thing you did well, I think it's using 10K because I don't know which segment you're working at GitLab. Do you work on the enterprise team or another team? Okay. And actually, if you are applying for the enterprise team, if you use a 10K repost to contact them, that's, again, you are showing that you can do the job before working for them. So that, I think that's also something else that helped for the hiring process, because what you said earlier about sending an email with a screenshot of this playlist, now also you use a 10K and you know how to use a 10K already. They don't need to teach you that, actually, and you use that in your outreach. So another thing I think that was that helped you stand out on the process.
Yeah, I think that really, really helped me. Yeah, for sure.
That, like, you, I don't know if I've said that already or I forget, but I know you. What I remember is, unfortunately, after the hiring process, they made the decision to move with another candidate, but you kept in touch with the hiring manager. So what was your process to kept in touch with the hiring manager? Did you call the person once a week, or what was your process?
I went through, I think, 4 or 5 interviews. And then I got an email being like, hey, we kind of went with another person. So at that point, like, of course, I was disappointed. I think it's normal to be disappointed in these situations. But I sent them a kind of email and being really, really kind of empathetic. So I was like, hey, congratulations on the new hire. You know, I'm excited for the team to kind of continue growing. I wasn't thinking of like, oh, why didn't you give me the job? You know, like, what did I do wrong? So I was thinking about like GitLab forward. So I didn't make it about me at all. I was like, congratulations to the team. I'm excited to kind of keep following your company, so on and so forth. And then I asked a very simple question, my call to action was basically like, hey, I'd love to kind of follow you on LinkedIn and stay connected there. And of course, everyone said yes. So this wasn't just the hiring manager; it was everyone I spoke to during the interview process. So they all said yes. I got a little bit lucky. I didn't have to kind of stay in touch for that long. It was literally like a month later where I told them like, "Hey, you know, I have another job offer here, but I'd still kind of love to go to GitLab. You know, is there something you can kind of do?" And then luckily they did. But had that not happened, and they were like, you know, the team is still full, blah, 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 I would have just kept them in a like a nurture sequence. I guess that's BDR slang. So it's basically just like very light, touches or like emails, you know, engaging with their LinkedIn content if they have it, stuff like that. And I would have done that probably like once every 2 or 3 months because, right, they explicitly gave me permission to do so. So, and I even had a bit of a, like a rough plan of the stuff that I would send them, send to them by email. And again, based on the information that I collected from interviews. So I cannot stress enough about asking questions during interviews to kind of get information.
What did you use actually?
Basically, you know, stuff they talked about, like how the team wanted more creativity. And yeah, like just like basic stuff like that. And so that would have been my plan because... Their they're a growing company, right? So they're not just going to kind of stop hiring after that kind of one time. So my goal was, okay, you know, this is a company that I can see myself at. So, you know, the next time that they open up hiring, I want to be like at the very top of the line. And, you know, I will admit, like, this is not, it's not a lot of time kind of commitment wise, but I think, you know, it does take a little bit more, it does take a little bit more effort and a little bit more like kind of emotional load in terms of getting over the fact that these folks, you know, quote unquote, like rejected you, right? You know, I would probably only recommend doing this for companies that if you are like really, really like, and you really want to work at, instead of like every single company, because it does take like mental toll.
Yeah. You can't do that with, if you have 30 companies, for example, if you have one company you want to work for, that's definitely doable.
So, and especially because I remember at one point I was going on like 3 interviews a day, and that I wouldn't super recommend doing that. But you know, every company these days, it's like 4 or 5 interview rounds. So, you know, assuming you don't get a job and you keep interviewing, you're probably not going to have a ton of bandwidth to kind of keep kind of following up with a company that you know, originally rejected you. So that's kind of why I think, you know, it's also good to have a sense of like your top tier.
Yeah. But also, even though that they said no, it's not no forever. It was just a temporary no. Because you keep keep in touch with them, and then it works out. How long did it take between the they say no and then to finally get hired, actually?
Yeah, so it was, I think, a month and a half.
A month and a half, okay.
Yeah. Kind of another kind of cool tidbit is, it was actually during the holiday season, so it was like over Christmas and New Year's. So if, you know, and I know like December is a tough month for hiring. So if you are at interviews, people who are listening, I would highly recommend over Christmas, just send the hiring managers and the recruiters like email, like, hey, you know, Merry Christmas, happy holidays, Happy New Year, with no ask. Just like a person-to-person, you know, happy holidays. I think they really appreciate that. And again, it's another touch where I think not a lot of people do, because maybe they're a little bit anxious of like emailing the hiring managers or whatever. I would highly recommend doing that.
Now we are almost at the end of the interview, so I have a few more questions. Based on your experiences, what do you think is the number one mistake made by SDR candidates in the hiring process?
You know, you're a hiring manager, you'd probably be able to answer that better than me. But I think doing the mass easy apply thing, and you know, as BDRs, I'm actually like in the middle of the spectrum between like hyper personalizing and mass applying. I think you can do both. Similar to what we do as BDRs, we have our tier one accounts, you know, and so when you're looking forward, this is your tier one companies, you want to put in the effort, you know, preparation, all that for these companies. But that doesn't mean that you can't also mass apply to, you know, 40, 50 other companies. Because, you know, you never know. You could find a diamond in the rough, right? But I think if you focus solely on the volume approach, it's really, really hard to kind of stand out these days. So I think, yeah. So I think, you know, the volume piece is, you know, you can definitely do that, but also have, you know, a few tier one companies that you're like, you know, I'm going to dedicate 80% of my time to try and getting a role at these companies.
And yeah, I pretty aligned on that with what you said here. Even though, obviously, if you want to work for, like you were saying, for one company like GitLab, like you did on the interview today, obviously, if you are mass applying, you're going to get a lot of interviews, and they're going to, you don't have the time that you need to invest for just one company, or not maybe just one, but at least your top 5 or 10. Top 10 companies, because you are going to focus on too many things at the same time. But even though those interviews are, in a sense, preparing you, at least you get some practice for interviews, because I know when you are starting, it's way different than when you already have some experience with interviews. You don't need to maybe if I when you have some more experience, you don't need like to apply to 40 companies at the same time or 50, but you can focus on really like a low number. So yeah, I agree with you on that. What would be, you already, if I gave a tip earlier, but what would be your number one tip to someone aiming to get a job in, for an SDR job in 2024?
I honestly think that persistence piece pays off, because I spend all day on LinkedIn and I see a lot of this advice, but extremely rarely do I see them say, you know, stay in touch after they rejected you. And I think this applies to all jobs, right? Not just tech sales job. Because so few people do that, that it's just like so much easier for you to stand out. So I think like that would be like, it's almost like a life hack. So yes, it does require a little bit of patience because they might not reopen hiring right away. But again, if this is your top company and you're like, I really, really want to be here, then, you know, I think it's worth kind of playing the long game, you know, in that aspect. So that would probably be my number one.
Well, Sam, thank you so much for being on the show today and for sharing your processes with Loopio and GitLab and how you got your roles there. So is there anything else you want to share with the audience before we wrap up the episode?
If, you know, anyone's listening, knows any kind of software engineering leaders, DevOps leaders who are looking to kind of look at GitLab, I imagine you'll put my information in the description box, right? But yeah, that's really it.
Perfect. So I'll add the information to the description on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcast. And if you have more questions about how to get a job, actually, if you can reach out to Sam on LinkedIn also, or reach out to me and ask question about how to get an SDR job. So thanks everyone, and I see you on the next episode.
All right, thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. So for Spotify, to leave a review, what you can do is you can use your phone, then go on the Spotify app, then you go to the SDR game page, and then at the top of the page, you can leave a review. It's a 5-star review if you enjoyed the episode, obviously. And then if you are listening to this episode on Apple Podcasts, feel free also to leave a review on your app. Thanks for listening, and I see you on the next episode.